everyone. My name is Anne Teato, and welcome to the Psychic Matters podcast, episode number 81. Happy New Year to you, and I hope that 2023 brings some amazing adventures your way. If you need a boost in the mornings, I've got you. Go to my website and grab your freebie giveaway, a small ebook with 7 daily psychic power breakfast recipes, together with a daily affirmation and a daily mantra. It's a hugely beneficial way to start your day, and it's free. Go get it now on anteato.com, A-N-N-T-H-E-A-T-O.com. Big news! I've got a podcast merchandise shop. Yay! I have been working diligently behind the scenes this week on merchandise for the Psychic Matters podcast, namely t-shirts, hoodies, and wearable goods. I don't know about you, but I am always shocked when I consider some of the facts and statistics around the fashion industry. Did you know, for instance, that 60% of clothing is made from plastic? Or that 99% goes to landfill or is incinerated? And that 40 tons of garments are burned or buried per second? 40% of all production is never even utilised. It's manufactured and then it's sent to landfill without ever having been used. And most products in the world of fashion are produced speculatively and guessing, of course, produces massive amounts of waste. The textile industry is the second largest polluter on the planet. And when I consider all this, I get so sad for Mother Earth and for humanity. So with this in mind, and knowing that I wanted to sell t-shirts and hoodies, I've been working alongside an incredible company whose purpose is to make clothing more sustainable. The Psychic Matters t-shirts, hoodies and jumpers that I will be selling are made from organic cotton and printed in the UK in a renewable energy powered factory. Don't worry, they ship all over the world. But they're designed from the start to come back to be remanufactured when they're worn out. So when they're no longer wearable, each one is designed to be sent back to us and the material reprocessed, respun and made into new products, not just once, but time and time and time again. So when you get one and you've finished with it, you can just scan the label of any Psychic Matters product you've purchased from our store, scan the QR code and follow the instructions to send your item back with free UK shipping. So if you fancy purchasing yourself a t-shirt, a hoodie or a tote bag to support the podcast, I've even got a sheet of stickers on there. Please head over to my website, anteato.com, and go and buy one. For every t-shirt or hoodie I sell, I think I make a profit of £2.75 or £3, something like that. So every t-shirt you buy will be supporting me as I make the podcast for you. And not only that, they're beautiful, they're comfortable, they're organic, and they are planet friendly. They're just brilliant fun. So do head over there and go and purchase one for yourself. And they ship all over the world. One note to say is that there is only one design at the moment, but please don't worry, more designs are coming. And also, forgive me, I'm still setting up that website page, so some of the buttons aren't quite connected. Stay with it. Try and press other buttons to navigate to where you need to go while I try and fix all that up. And hopefully by the end of January, it will all work smoothly. And now for this week's episode, we are looking at remote viewing. You may have heard of remote viewing, you may not. Some of you may think, oh, how dull and dry and boring. And some of you, hopefully most of you, may be intrigued. What is remote viewing and how does it work? Well, settle back in your chairs and allow me to help you understand what remote viewing is and the many ways in which it can be used. If you are a psychic or a medium or both, Receiving training in remote viewing can be hugely beneficial to our work. It will help us to push boundaries and help us to become one of the modern day pioneers of consciousness, helping humanity, increasing our levels of mental ability and psychic mind agility to elevate current levels of human awareness. As they say, the rising tide lifts all ships. I am running a hugely exciting 6-month mentorship program this year called The Art of Remote Viewing. It starts on January 25th. So if you are listening and you want to come and train with me in this fascinating subject, please go to my website, anntheato.com, anntheato.com, and click on courses and events. I would love to have you join me. So what exactly is remote viewing? Well, at the moment, remote viewing is a catchphrase. It can refer to absolutely anything in the field of parapsychology, and it can incorporate many, many things. It can be a combination of various phenomena, such as clairvoyance, when you see visions and images in the mind's eye. Plus, it involves our other clairsenses, such as the perception of sounds or tastes or smells and textures, as well as telepathy and mind-to-mind communication. It can involve scrying and dowsing and psychometry. If you use remote viewing with your mediumship, you can walk in the footsteps of your spirit communicator, asking them to lead you in their final steps on this earth. This is very useful for psychic detection when you're looking for missing people, etc. You can use remote viewing with the mind of your spirit communicator. You can walk in the memory of your spirit communicator, looking out through their eyes at the life they once knew, looking out through their eyes and describing their workplace, their bedroom, their belongings. You can use remote viewing psychically to send your thoughts out through time and space to retrieve information from a given target, such as what is in the envelope, what is in the box, or the target is an event, describe the event. Remote viewing has been described as a novel perceptual discipline for gaining information not available to the ordinary physical senses. It was used extensively by what they called psychic spies during the Cold War for classified military projects, and it has a long history as an intelligence gathering tool. It can be used to go back in time to retrieve accurate historical or archaeological knowledge. It can be used to assist in criminal investigations, to help police find missing people. It can be used for business purposes to see if a product is worth investing in. It can be used by estate agents or realtors to remote view the house that their clients are going to buy. And it can be used for reconstructing events and filling in forgotten details. The perceiver or the remote viewer describes details about a target that is inaccessible to normal senses due to either distance or time or the fact that it's hidden. So, for example, you could accurately describe a location anywhere in the world which you have never visited, or you could accurately describe a historical event which happened way, way back in history in the olden days, which of course you were never at. Or you may describe an object in a locked room on the other side of the world. Remote viewing is an evolving art. No one knows exactly how it works, and it is ever evolving. It has been scientifically tested and proven to be incredibly effective when retrieving previously unknown information in time and space. Somehow, inherent in all of us is the ability to tap into the cosmic database. I think the first thing we need to understand and consider is that Everything is energy, and energy is everything. Life is energy, and everything in life is energy. Everything is defined and guided by energy. Everything we do, everything we eat or drink, everything is energy. All energy has the ability to affect other energy. So we are affected by the energy of the world, whether it's the energy inside another person, the energy in the food we eat, it affects us positively or negatively. We have a choice to master our own energy. We can fill our lives with positive, loving energy, or we can choose to do things a different way. We always have a choice. Our energy cannot be taken away from us. If we are surrounded by people who are draining us, then we acknowledge that they are affecting us, but we, in effect, have chosen to give away our energy. So we can make a different choice. Positive energy in our lives creates possibility. If we avoid negative forms of energy, such as gossip or some dark imagery or some types of music that brings our mood down, and if we replace that with positive things, then we increase our ability for endless possibility in this world, because what we eat will affect our body's energy. So we should choose food that makes us feel energetically positive. We are omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent in the unconscious. What does that mean, Anne? What are those long words? What do they mean? Well, omnipotent is to have unlimited power. Omniscient means knowing everything. And omnipresent is to be in all places at all times. We are infinite, and we have infinite healing energy within us and from the source. We hold great power within us. I'll say that again. We hold great power within us. Therefore, if everything is energy and energy is everything, every experience we have ever thought carries with it an energy and a frequency, and that energy and that frequency never dies. It never goes away from our conscious mind, but it exists in an eternal and infinite realm, and that realm is a collective pool of energy. So your thoughts and your experiences lie in another realm, which is the realm which contains the energy of human experience, yours and everybody else's, both living and dead. And every experience is energetically recorded, and everyone has access to the record of everybody else. Humanity is moving forwards always. So those of us who are learning remote viewing now are better remote viewers than the remote viewers who came before us. Why is this? Because of morphic resonance. We begin with the ability to get information and wisdom from the energetic experience of thousands of other remote viewing students who have gone before us. We are already better than they ever were simply because we begin our journey with their experience. More than the physical, we are eternal and omnipresent. Bernard of Chartres, a 12th century philosopher, used to say that we are like dwarves on the shoulders of giants, so that we can see more than they and things at a greater distance, not by virtue of any sharpness of sight on our part or on any physical distinction, but because we are carried high and raised up by their giant size. We all stand on the shoulders of giants. Let me tell you a little bit about the history of remote viewing, as it can be traced back thousands of years to the days of the early Greeks and even way, way before that. And of course, it wasn't always called remote viewing. The relatively modern term, remote viewing, dates from the 1930s, beginning with experiments in clairvoyance under incredible scientists like J.B. Rhine and René Warcollier. During the Cold War, the Russians were attaining a lot of USA military secrets, and America had no idea how they were managing to do that. There was no way that they could have gained access to some of the top security information. And then the US government discovered a man who had defected from Russia with a lot of documents showing that Russia had a psychic spying program in their military. And this is how they were attaining secrets. And of course, there are no secrets with remote viewing. You can travel anywhere in all of time and space. Nothing can be hidden from a trained remote viewer. It's also undetectable because we are not leaving our body, unlike astral travel. The subconscious mind bounces off the signal line and brings back pieces of information. Our subconscious mind assembles that information and creates a virtual reality around us. And therefore, we are not visiting the target. We are visiting a copy of the target that we are creating. We can pick up all the tastes, all the smells from that virtual reality, and therefore we are undetectable because we're not really there. We're not leaving the body. Fast forward then to the 1960s and the early 1970s. Researchers at the American Society for Psychical Research began conducting out-of-body experiments, and one of the subjects of these experiments was a chap called Ingo Swann. He was subsequently known worldwide as the father of remote viewing. Now, Ingo was an artist, and he had a great interest in and studied the paranormal. The experiments conducted by the American Society for Psychical Research pointed to something very unusual. Something very different to the current understanding was happening. Remotely viewed locations and objects otherwise inaccessible to direct human perception were being evidenced. Meanwhile, over at a place called the Stanford Research Institute, we have two gentlemen, Hal Puthoff and Russell Targ. Both of them were brilliant physicists, and these two gentlemen began researching ESP, extrasensory perception. They researched clairvoyance and telepathy, and they researched all kinds of different forms of non-conventional communication. Eventually, they got funding from the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA. They experimented with putting people in Faraday rooms. A Faraday cage is a container or a shield that blocks out electromagnetic radiation from across the electromagnetic spectrum, for example, radio waves or microwaves. In fact, there is a cocktail bar here in the UK called the Gin Tub in East Sussex, and the owner is a chap called Steve Tyler, and he built a Faraday cage around his establishment to block mobile phone signals from entering the building. And Steve said, "It's not perfect or military grade. I just wanted people to enjoy a night out at my bar without being interrupted by their phones. Rather than asking them not to use their phones, I stopped their phones working." One of the early experiments that took place involved a chap called Kit Green. Now, Kit chose a location for two people to remote view, and those two people were Pat Price, who was a retired detective from California, and Ingo Swann. And Kit Green asked these two men to remote view the location that he had chosen. And this location wasn't known to Pat Price or Ingo Swann, but it was a hunting cabin that Kit Green had chosen, way in the middle of absolutely nowhere. During the experiment, Pat Price and Ingo Swann began to remote view the location, and they began writing down all the things that they saw, perceived and felt there. Now, what Kit Green did not know at that time was that close by to the hunting cabin he had randomly chosen was a secret underground military installation. Inside this military installation was a secret room, and inside the secret room was a secret filing cabinet which contained top secret code names and lots of secret information that only those with the highest security clearance had access to. Whilst they were remote viewing, Pat Price and Ingo Swann entered the room, opened the locked filing cabinet drawer and read off all the names on all the files. The names were to do with billiards, eight ball, cue ball, things like that. And then after they finished the experiment, Pat Price and Ingo Swann created a written report of their findings, which you always have to do when you're using the method of controlled remote viewing. And they gave their report to Kit Green, who had asked them to view the target in the first place. And so Kit Green took a look at their report, and at first glance he thought, well, this experiment hasn't worked. It's all full of descriptions of filing cabinets and billiard terms and so on and so forth. However, Kit Green passed the report up the chain of command, and apparently the big chiefs at the top of the chain were thrown into a frenzy of disbelief. They thought we had spies, but eventually they came to realise that this was true telepathic information. Pat Price and Ingo Swann used a technique called bilocation. And bilocation is a phenomena. It's when you buy into the virtual reality that you created so strongly that you feel you are truly there. You lose touch with your surroundings. You are at the location of the target in every way, mentally and physically. Your body temperature may rise in response to the high temperature present at the target site. Or you may experience nausea because of something moving rapidly at the target site. They had bilocated to the target, which is when they were able to put their head into the filing cabinet to see what was in there. With scientific experiments like these taking place, with these phenomenal and inexplicable results, the US military obviously realised they had a massive breach in their security and they needed somehow to defend against it. So they created a military unit in which they could research this paranormal phenomena. They chose some abandoned buildings in a place called Fort Meade in Maryland, USA, and they enrolled a team of people to thoroughly, scientifically and methodically research and refine what we now all term remote viewing. For 20 years, the US government funded all the research, and of course it was all performed in secret. In 1978, the US Army created a unit to use remote viewing operationally, often collecting intelligence against foreign adversaries. In the 1980s, funding was hard to come by. In 1986, under Army sponsorship, it combined with the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, and in 1991, it renamed its program Stargate. Portions of the program were declassified in 1995. During its lifetime, the remote viewing unit gathered intelligence against a broad range of targets, things like strategic missile forces, political leaders, hostage situations, secret installations, terrorist groups, counter-narcotics operations, things like this, with huge success. And failures too. There are always failures. Despite the huge success of the programme, the CIA put out a document in 1995 stating that they had decided remote viewing was not useful as an intelligence collection tool after all, despite the 20 years of financial support they had been putting into it. They downplayed it and stated something along the lines of remote viewing being deemed totally useless as an intelligence collection resource. However, it is understood that the US military then began putting their top secret facilities in the middle of amusement parks or Chinatown, places that are very colourful and very busy, because these kinds of places makes it harder for psychics and remote viewers to see. Emotional attractors are so powerful, we as psychics get drawn to them instead of the actual target. It's hard for a remote viewer to separate out a boring old top secret location with tables and chairs and magnolia walls. It can be psychically protected by a more exciting environment whereby a psychic might get distracted and view or look at the wrong things in the location. In some forms of remote viewing, the viewer not only verbalizes what he or she is perceiving, but also sometimes records in writing, in sketches, and sometimes even in three-dimensional modeling the results of the remote viewing episode or session. So what have we learned so far about remote viewing? No one really knows where information comes from, how it is delivered, or how we are able to process it. There are lots and lots of theories, but there are no real answers. The current theory, which is quite popular, is that there is some sort of emission possibly coming from the target. There's some kind of a transfer mechanism, for example, some sort of transmission device or method, some form of receiver, e.g. a remote viewer. No one has any idea what the truth is. Mankind is trying to use observation and logic when it comes to deciding how reality operates, yet we still struggle to understand the laws of how time and space operate. We do not receive perfect transmission. The information that comes into the remote viewer's awareness is not totally intact or whole. It can come in bits and pieces, and we can build these up into a clearer and a bigger picture of the target. As a remote viewer, you are a conduit for unattached information. A psychic such as myself, and possibly you, the listener, is someone who uses different tools to practice their trade, for example, scrying, using a crystal ball or a mirror or maybe tarot cards. Some psychics receive their information spontaneously. Some are trained. Most operate within the boundaries of their own rules. They don't follow a specific method for receiving information. They do their own thing, working with their own intuition in their own way, using their innate clair senses without any particular method being used other than something that is particular to them as an individual. A large part of becoming a successful remote viewer will be developing your ability to quieten the inner dialogue, to let go of ego, let go of self-doubt, and let go of the outcome. We have to remain the observer and not the evaluator. There are also many different types of remote viewing. There's outbounder or beacon remote viewing. There is ARV, associate remote viewing, CRV, coordinate remote viewing, which is now known as controlled remote viewing, precognitive remote viewing, ERV, extended remote viewing, SRV, scientific remote viewing, TRV, technical remote viewing, natural remote viewing, dream remote viewing, medical remote viewing. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. The type of remote viewing that was carried out by the US military and funded for 20 years by the CIA was controlled remote viewing, which is an interview and report methodology. They had to show their workings out. They had to provide accurate data entered into spreadsheets and computers. Lynn Buchanan, a world-renowned expert on remote viewing and its potential, was a psychic spy for the US military. And in his incredible book, The Seventh Sense, he talks about one of his tasks, which was keeping an accurate database. In that book, Lynn says, results weren't classed as a success or a failure, but rather data was scored and entered into spreadsheets. The computer would then calculate the number of correct or incorrect perceptions. This data, entered over hundreds of targets, gives a remote viewer a track record or dependability rating. If the data entered into a computer gives a score of 60% correct, for instance, that does not mean the person is 60% psychic. But over hundreds of sessions, if that psychic consistently and repeatedly averages 60%, then we can begin to say that they have a dependability rating of 60%. In other words, you can depend on 60% of the information they provide to be accurate. It's also a way, says Lynn, to tell what a remote viewer's strengths and weaknesses are. Their work can be looked at, and we can see what types of information they get correct and what type they get wrong and what is not able to be scored. And over time, a profile of that person's work will emerge, and it might show a 99% dependability in naming objects and 50% dependability in naming colours. So if the police want to know the colour of the getaway car, they can look into their database and find someone who is good at colours. The 20 years of computer data in the US military showed proven results time and time and time again, in order to demonstrate that their methods worked, in order to be given more funding the following year to continue the experiments year after year after year. The work of psychics, such as myself and possibly those of you who are listening, who use remote viewing outside of methodology or protocol, is just as relevant and important. We should all be so very grateful to Ingo Swann, father of remote viewing, who dedicated a great portion of his life to investigating the subject of ESP and clairvoyance, and for demonstrating that each of us carries a dormant psychic ability that we can explore and use ourselves. One thing we can be sure of: remote viewing works, and it works incredibly well. I really hope you have found this episode intriguing and inspiring. If you are interested in studying this topic a little further, I invite you to join me on my remote viewing 6-month mentorship program. There are just a handful of places left. Go to my website, annteato.com, annteato.com, and click on courses and events. As ever, there are show notes available with a full transcript on my website for this and any episode of the podcast. Wishing you a fantastic couple of weeks ahead. My name is Anne Teato, and thank you for listening to Psychic Matters.